T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Slow Hand. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans' only classic rock. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. Huge day here in New Orleans as tonight LSU goes for the national championship in the Superdome. And, you know, I just learned something about Joe Burrow, Heisman Joe Burrow, LSU quarterback. I learned that I have something in common with him. There's something that he does that I do.
Okay.
I felt pretty cool about that. He said not long before every game, his pregame ritual, one of the things he does is he takes a nap.
Oh.
I've got that in common with him, because when the show's over, when this radio show's over, we hang out here for a while and do some more work. But then I go home, and the first thing I do is take a nap. I never took a nap in my life until I started this job. Because if I don't take a nap, then I'll be really tired once 7:30, 8 o'clock at night comes around, because we got to get up early to do this morning radio show.
Right.
But if I do take a nap right after the show, I'm usually good till about 10, maybe even a little bit after.
Now, you say this is his post-game?
No, he takes a nap
before.
He takes a nap right before he works.
Okay. You take a nap after.
That's the only thing different. Coleman, why do you got to spoil something that I got in common with Joe Burrow? Why do you got to?
You have a lot more in common than just taking naps. Y'all both winners in some way, shape, or form, I guess.
Well, he is. He's more of a winner than I am, Coleman. I'll tell you that much right now. But very exciting tonight here in New Orleans. And just the way the planets aligned and just the way everything happened, you've got LSU playing for the national championship in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And we've heard the Clemson coach and some of the players whine, complain. We might as well be playing in Baton Rouge. It might as well be a home game for LSU. It just happens to be a coincidence that this year the national championship game is in New Orleans. There's a handful now, almost a handful and a half or two handfuls full of American cities where the national championship game rotates and goes every year. And so New Orleans is on that list. As a matter of fact, we don't know when we're getting the next national championship game, probably 10 years from now.
I was roaming the streets yesterday, and there was a lot of Clemson representation.
You see a lot of orange?
Yeah, dude. Some of our local establishments were hanging flags. I felt betrayed.
You're telling me there's a few Clemson bars here in New Orleans?
They had the flags up. I'm not going to say which one, Barcadia. But when I was passing it up, they actually had Clemson flags flying. They painted some of their stuff orange. And then when I went and walked on Bourbon, they had a few bars that had the little paw print hanging.
It's interesting. I mean, I expect to see a couple of Clemson bars because, you know, New Orleans, we're a world-class city, and I'm sure we have some Clemson graduates maybe around. I remember this season when LSU beat Alabama. There was a bar in the Warehouse District that flew some Alabama flags, and come to find out, I guess the owner of the bar, his family, and they a couple of them went to Alabama.
Yeah.
So,
No, the worst ones are the mixed breeds, though. Sometimes you have people out there have a LSU jersey on, but then like a Clemson hat. You know, I've seen a few of those people around that was kind of representing both. I've seen some that had purple shirts, but with an orange paw.
See,
like
kinda,
the hybrid ones bother me the most. Yeah. It's like pick a side.
Pick a side. The only people that are allowed to do that, let's say, are parents, and they might have twins, and one of them plays, or they might have a couple of sons, and one of them plays for Clemson, and the other plays for LSU. But other than that, yeah, I'm not a fan of walking around with one team's hat and another team's shirt.
Okay, so you know I got the hookup though, right, John? So I was able to sneak into LSU practice, and I got the insight of how Coach O plans to win the game. Now, if you play for Clemson, cover your ears. This is exclusive, but I got some insight. You know, I brought my little microphones in there, snuck in there, and here's what I got.
Lead off, man. Now we win. I kind of fire. We go. That way, I got a boot call at my back. This kill you, though. Then when the town Bobby Boucher on the lead, call that wrong way. You're the same as you want Bobby Boucher to hire him.
And that is Coach O's key to victory.
Hey, way to get that exclusive audio, Coleman.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? Although I don't know if it was cool that we just put that out over the air, because now if some of the Clemson people heard it, boy, LSU could be in trouble tonight. I got to be honest with you, five and a half or 6 point spread, it looks like an easy, and there's no such thing as an easy bet, but it looks like with the way LSU's been playing this year, it looks like that's some pretty righteous money there. I like LSU to easily cover that spread. And the over-under, that's the total amount of points scored, is 68.
Wow.
That's pretty high. But the way LSU's been playing this year, I like the total to go over that. I firmly believe LSU will fairly handily cover that point spread tonight. So, and we'll be at the block party outside of Vintage Rock Club, a couple of blocks down Poydras from the Superdome, starting at 4:30 today.
Yeah, we'll be there. 4 o'clock? Yeah, we'll be there a little earlier. But it's VIP. It's exclusive. So to get the details of how to get access, go to buyu957.com and get details. It's a VIP event.
Big night here in New Orleans this weekend. I got a couple of stories because the people have been coming in all weekend for the national championship game. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. One of the most exciting days here in the city of New Orleans in a while. As tonight, LSU plays for the national championship. They go for the gold tonight against Clemson in the Superdome. And again, there's no such thing as an easy bet. But when the point spread is anywhere from five and a half to 6 points, with the way LSU's favored, with the way they've played this year, there hasn't been a college football team that they played. And in my opinion, I don't believe there's a college football team on the planet that can slow Joe Burrow down, let alone stop him. You look at LSU's schedule this year, they had a very difficult schedule, and especially compared to Clemson. Clemson plays in the ACC conference. They're more known for basketball than they are for football. And so you look at LSU's schedule this year. LSU played a bunch of teams that were ranked in the top 10. Clemson didn't. So you look at their schedules, and none of the teams that LSU played could slow down or begin to stop Heisman Joe Burrow. So why should Clemson be any different? You know, the only you look at Clemson. This is the fourth year out of the last 5 years that they've been in the Final Four, that they've been in the CFP, the College Football Playoffs. And this is obviously the first time LSU has ever made it to the College Football Playoffs since they adjusted the format and how they figure out the national champion. And that quarterback, the long-haired kid, Lawrence, for Clemson, and I don't think he's ever lost a game. So he's this will be the first time he loses tonight. And again, you look at the point spread, anywhere from 5.5 to 6 points. Again, there's no such thing as an easy bet. Things could happen that we don't foresee. But to me, it looks like as winnable a bet as you can have for a national championship football game. I think LSU's going to win by plenty more than 5, 5.5, or 6 points.
Cha-ching!
Did you see what happened the other night at the Superdome?
No, what happened? I missed it.
Early Saturday morning, either late Friday night or early Saturday morning, about 3 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, two people got into a shootout with Superdome security. People trying to sneak into an area near the Superdome early Saturday morning got into a shootout with security officers there. It was about 3 in the morning on Saturday. Security officers were patrolling around the Superdome. They saw two people trying to get into an unauthorized area, and they confronted them. And when the Superdome security confronted those two people, that's when at least one of those two opened fire.
Wow.
The security officers returned fire, but according to the New Orleans Police Department, nobody was struck. At least one bullet struck the windshield of a car that was parked around there. The two people fled, and they were able to escape, and evidently, there's very good communication between the security guards at the Superdome and the New Orleans Police Department and the Louisiana State Police Department and the FBI and the Secret Service.
The Secret. Oh, you know why? The president is supposed to be down here for the game.
He's coming for the game tonight, Coleman. That's right. And that's why Secret Service is involved. But evidently, the people doing security over at the Superdome, they've got good communication with all of those different agencies. The one thing they wanted to let everybody know is there was no indication that incident was related to any type of terrorist activity. Because obviously, and you know, if you're going to the game tonight, give yourself some extra time to get in, because it'll take a little bit longer to get in because of such a high-profile event, the national championship game, that people will be getting frisked and checked even a little bit tighter than normal over there at the Superdome when you go in for a Saints game. So,
But for them to shoot at the security, they have to be there for something serious. Usually, if you're just goofing around, you're trying to play a prank, or you just want to sneak in and get access, maybe take some selfies of the field. You know, people do stuff like that for crazy reasons. But for them to get that spooked out in the open fire at security, they were there for something serious. They weren't just there to lollygag and play around.
Well, yeah, and again, the two people were trying to get into a secure location right near the intersection of Cypress Street and West Stadium Drive. Again, they weren't actually trying to get in the Superdome. They were just right. They were right around there, a secure area right around there, and that's when they were confronted. And that's, you know, usually here in New Orleans, when you hear there's some gunfire, we're kind of used to that, pretty much happens every day here in the city of New Orleans, but not over there, and not just a couple of days before the national championship football game between Clemson and LSU. So very exciting. All of the Bayou crew before the game, we're going to be down the street from the Superdome. We're going to be hanging out, partying outside of Vintage Rock Club. It's going to be a massive block party. It's going to be It's going to be great. Looking forward to it. Very exciting. And again, there's no such thing as an easy bet. But to me, because anything can happen, Coleman.
I know that, but like,
if betting was easy, there'd be a lot of rich, shady people out there.
But I just like the way you sell every time you bring that up. Like, your face is so confident because you know what LSU is capable of. You already have it in your mind.
I think LSU, Coleman, they're gonna easily not only
so
win the game,
faith.
but they're gonna,
I agree.
They're gonna easily cover the five and a half or 6 point spread. That's just me. That's just me. And what an exciting night here in New Orleans. Coming up on the show. Did you see where Gwyneth Paltrow, the actress, she's selling a candle? Not only is she selling a candle that smells like her privates, her vage, evidently it already sold out. Evidently people want their living rooms or bedrooms or bathrooms smelling like Gwyneth Paltrow's privates. They want it to smell like that. We'll give you some of these details coming up. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. People are so excited. LSU playing for the national championship tonight in New Orleans. How many LSU fans are either not going to show up for work tomorrow or going to be late for work tomorrow after watching the game tonight and having a great time?
They're not showing up for work today. They're going to be at the block party.
Yes, you're right. For some around here, it's a four-day weekend, Coleman. And what's happening in some Raising Cane's restaurants around here has been pretty funny. Have you seen that?
No, what's up?
Raising Cane's, they have, besides delicious chicken, they have a bunch of LSU coach Ed Orgeron cardboard cutouts.
Oh, okay.
In their restaurants, and evidently, the cardboard cutouts are the LSU fans are really enjoying them to the point where they're taking them out of the restaurants, and the one of the owners of Raising Cane's Chickens, Todd Graves is his name. He has posted some videos on his Twitter of people grabbing the Coach O cardboard cutouts from Raising Cane's and just running out the door. And it's funny. I don't know if this is legitimate, if people are. I think some people are really doing it, and he doesn't care. But he's got three or four different videos of three or four different people, and he's blurred out the cardboard cutout thieves' faces. But he shows them walking in Raising Cane's, looking around, standing next to the Coach O cardboard cutout, and then all of a sudden picking it up and running out the door. And it's pretty funny, actually. In what some are calling a bizarre criminal phenomena, some LSU fans have been seen stealing cardboard cutouts of Coach Ed Orgeron from different Raising Cane's stores across the area. If you've been in there, typically the Coach O cutouts have been placed near the entrance of the restaurants. And now we've got some footage of a few different people, you know, walking in, standing next to the cardboard cutouts. They look around, and then they steal them. They take off with them. Again, Todd Graves, the owner of Raising Cane's, he's the guy who's posted these cardboard cutout thefts videos on his Twitter page, and he tweeted about it. In one video, he tweeted, "Lego my Coach O," and then another one he tweeted, "Where'd Coach O go?" G-E-A-U-X, of course, question mark. And then he showed another one. He said, "Caniacs," I guess that's what you call people who really enjoy Raising Cane's. He tweeted, "Caniacs prepping for the big game," like, and then it showed him. So, you know, you'd never recommend stealing anything from anybody, but This is a historic season. This is the greatest football team LSU has ever had. This may be the greatest college football team in history. The offense that Joe Burrow is leading, Heisman Joe, and so LSU fans want to have a piece of this forever.
Or put it on eBay.
Well, now if they're going to try to make money off of it, I think maybe the owner of Raising Cane's might have an issue with that. I think maybe he's looking the other way.
Mm-hmm.
But chicken fingers aren't the only fingers in Raising Cane's the last few days. Sticky fingers are also showing up around around the different stores. All right, coming up on the show, wild weekend here in the city of New Orleans. I've seen a bunch of Clemson fans, but obviously, and they're whining about it too, the Clemson folks. Obviously, it's majority LSU people, so much purple and gold running around New Orleans for tonight's national championship game. So much stuff going on. We got more stories coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show on an extremely exciting Monday morning here in New Orleans as tonight the LSU Tigers go for it all. The national championship game here in the Superdome against the Clemson Tigers. It's interesting how both they have not only the same nickname, the Tigers, but they both call their stadiums Death Valley. And they're the only two stadiums in America that are called Death Valley. Who are the real Tigers? And where is the real Death Valley?
Yeah, somebody's plagiarizing.
We told you towards the end of last week, tickets for this game tonight. Now, obviously, it's sold out, but you can buy tickets on the secondary market. This is capitalism at its best. We told you last week, during the middle of the week or so, getting towards the end of last week, that tickets, the cheapest tickets, were just under $1,000. They were in the $925, $950 range.
Cha-ching!
Those prices have come down.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah. Right now, the most inexpensive ticket I can see is $731 for one ticket. Well, if you're a hardcore LSU fan, or you're coming from South Carolina, you're a big time hardcore Clemson fan. You know, but I see two tickets for $731. And that's the Terrace End Zone in row 27. So that's that would be section 608. So
that's
towards the top.
Yeah, towards the top, field goal.
Yeah, in the end zone behind the goalpost.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So right now, and then I see they have others in the $700 to $800 range. And it'll be interesting to see as today goes on if those numbers will continue to go down or they will go up. Because I know a bunch of people that wanted to go to the game and they were wondering last week, should I bite the bullet and pay the $950 now or pay the $1,000 now? I mean, you're talking about a mortgage payment.
The iPhone.
Yeah, or should people were asking should I wait? And those who waited, it looks like that's going to be the right move because as of right now, the cheapest ticket I see $731. I see $746 for different tickets. I see $757 for different tickets, but they're all upstairs up in the 600s. And then of course if you want to get better seats, the highest price I see right now is $3,412.
Wow.
For a ticket that's lower, a better seat. So, and it's interesting. Again, absolutely, this is a once in a lifetime deal for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And to see this particular LSU team with this particular quarterback This isn't only the best LSU football team that they've ever had in Baton Rouge. This team, depending how they do tonight, if Heisman Joe Burrow goes out there and does what he's done all season long, this LSU team will go down in the conversation of the greatest college football team ever. All colleges, right. Not just the greatest LSU team.
I find the ticket price interesting. Now, I've paid like $600, $700 for tickets at the events at the Superdome, but I had
What did you pay that much money for?
WrestleMania, twice.
It's fake!
but I had 6 months in advance to prepare for it. With they figured out who's going to go into the championships maybe a few weeks ago, and people are already dishing out that kind of money to get tickets without any preparation.
Coleman, I know WrestleMania is good, fun entertainment, but it's fake. It's fixed.
It's not fake fighting. It's great acting. It's a stage play. You have to look at it that way. It's like Madea stage play.
So you'd pay that much money for a professional wrestling ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that something? So we'll see what happens with these ticket prices. As far as tonight's national championship game goes, but again, I mean, if you bleed purple and gold, or you bleed orange and blue like Clemson, this could be a once in a lifetime opportunity for you that you never forget. Although, you know, ever since they rearranged the college football playoffs by taking the top four seeds, you know, Clemson has been in there what, four out of the last 5 years. They get in pretty much every year. And I know the conference they play in stinks, the ACC, but they still have to win once they get in there. And last year they did that. They are the defending national champions.
How about that?
This is something how LSU fans last year could easily root for Clemson. Beat Nick Saban, that SOB. Beat the Alabama Crimson Tide. So last year, you know, which they did, Clemson. Mm-hmm. And
it's the same deal how we feel about Belichick. We don't care who's in as long as they beat Belichick, you know? No.
That's something so exciting. Hey, coming up on the show, a very important person in rock and roll died over the last few days. And I'm gonna give you a couple of opinions on that guy and what he meant. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans' only classic rock. Actress Gwyneth Paltrow has been making news because on her website, she was selling a candle that smells like her vagina.
Ew!
What's interesting is it already sold out.
Wow.
Sold out after a day or two. You know, Gwyneth Paltrow, she takes some heat from some people because she just has an air about her that is, and I'm not talking about her vagina, but she has an air about her that she is just on a different level in life than you, me, and everybody else. And she'll give people, I guess, on her website, she gives people advice to do things, but everything seems to cost so much money, and people give her a bunch of crap saying, oh yeah, that's easy for you because, you know, you're a Hollywood actress and you're worth millions of dollars. And but now, over the last few days, she sold a bunch of these candles Gwyneth Paltrow has that smell like her vagina.
Ooh, that smell.
For $75, your living room, your bathroom, your bedroom could smell like Gwyneth Paltrow's vagina.
Oh, $75?
Yeah, and it's sold out.
Wow. I mean,
she's got to get some more. I don't know how they're producing these.
I like seafood, but I don't like this. $75 to have your house smell like shrimp, that's a no-go for me. I'm used to speechless too, right? Imagine coming home and you have the Gwyneth Paltrow candle burning, and the woman you're bringing home is like, wait, what's that? You had somebody here yesterday?
Yeah, well, it sold out.
Jeez.
And if you've ever wondered what Gwyneth Paltrow's vage smells like, if she restocks the inventory, and again, I don't know how exactly she's going to do that, but if she does that, you know, your place, a room in your house could smell just like Gwyneth Paltrow's vagina. You know, I like candles. I usually have a couple of candles going around my house. I enjoyed the this though. Yeah, I mean, do you want to get in trouble with the woman that you're dating? Do you want to? Is this what you want your place or your bathroom or your or whatever to smell like?
I wonder what gave her the idea as well. Like,
and I wonder, you know, since she's a Hollywood actress, like, I wonder if that candle smells kind of close to, let's say, I don't know, other Hollywood actresses' privates.
I mean, for $75, we can all find out, I guess, right?
Yeah, she has an issue with aging. She is not a big fan of getting old. As a matter of fact, not that long ago, she went to a couple of her friends and she said she wasn't happy with the way her breasts are sagging the older she gets, and she wasn't happy about that. And then to make matters worse, not long after she had that conversation, she was nominated for a SAG award in Hollywood. And that really made her put her into a funky tailspin. Maybe that's the reason why she's selling candles that smell like her vagina. Coming up next, we look at today in history. And on this show, we call the segment Why Today Doesn't Suck. And we hope you'll hang out with us. Suck is next here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. It's time for us now to take a look at today in history. And we call the segment
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
January 13th.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
It was today in 2011, this song was banned from being played on the radio in the country of Canada. 25 years after its release, this song, Money for Nothing by Dire Straits, was banned from being played on the radio in the country of Canada because they used the word, the one that rhymes with maggot.
Yeah, that one.
when he was talking about someone, I guess that he thought was gay. You know, I remember that song came out when I was in high school, and that was immense. I want my MTV, Dire Straits, Money for Nothing. And that was Sting from The Police who was saying, I want my MTV. But it shows you how times change. I guess it wasn't that big of a deal back in 1985 when that song came out. And that was that album, that was the biggest commercial success Dire Straits ever had. I mean, that album sold millions and millions and millions of copies.
But it's only banned in Canada. It's still, you can play it here.
But I think it still gets played here in America, but I think they edit out the F word.
Because
you can't be calling people that.
So Canada did it way back in the 80s, so they was ahead of the curve.
Well, no, it actually happened in 2011.
Oh, yeah.
Only 9 years ago, but it was 25 years after the song's release. Somebody called up a radio station and complained, and then the government of Canada moved in, and they said that song can never be played again on any Canadian radio station. Again, if stations in America play it, I just think they edit out that word a little bit. Yeah. Because that was a very, very popular song. January 13th.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
It was today in 1968. Johnny Cash performs at Folsom Prison. And that album became absolutely huge. But I don't think Johnny Cash used that word during that performance. In the midst of a depression and a steep decline in his musical career, legendary singer Johnny Cash arrives to play for inmates at California's Folsom Prison today in 1968. And you know, that concert and the subsequent live album launched him back into the charts and redefined his career. So that him performing at that prison brought him back, because his career was down a little bit at that point.
He did that out of depression or desperation, or do you think it was a good PR move?
All of the above, Coleman. All of the above, he did that. January 13th.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
It was today in 1999. Michael Jordan retires for the second time. To this day, he goes down. Most people who are big hoops fans will say Michael Jordan is the greatest who ever lived. He's without a doubt on the Mount Rushmore of NBA basketball, of the greatest basketball players who ever lived. You know, if you're going to take the four greatest basketball players who ever lived, he's on pretty much everybody's list.
Yep. I think he is the greatest. I know they got the LeBron thing going on, a Dr. J, Pistol P, but I think greatest of all time, I'm in the camp, Michael Jordan is the best.
Yeah, he's obviously not only in the discussion, he's right there. January 13th.
Why today doesn't suck.
It was today in 1929. Wyatt Earp died in Los Angeles. Wyatt Earp, one of the biggest names, one of the most famous people from the Wild West days here in the United States of America. He moved to Los Angeles from Tombstone, Arizona. Many of us know about Wyatt Earp from that great movie, Tombstone.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt Russell played him. And, you know, before Wyatt Earp cleaned up Tombstone, Arizona, with the Battle of the O.K. Corral, he was a lawman before that. And he had a couple of issues being a lawman, and he was kind of run out of where he was, and he ended up in Tombstone, Arizona. Didn't want to be a lawman. He wanted just to go there and make money. But if you saw the movie, you knew that there were some people that were giving that town a rough time, and him and his brothers, and Doc Holliday had to step in and put an end to that.
And that was the Kurt Russell and Val Kilmer one, right?
That was, yes.
All right, the Huckleberry movie. I remember my dad was a fan of that. He used to watch that movie on repeat all the time and draw his pistol, like acting like he's one of the cowboys when he watched it.
Well, Kurt Russell did a great job as Wyatt Earp.
Yeah.
But Val Kilmer stole that show as Doc Holliday. He was incredible as Doc Holliday in the line you're looking for when one of the bad guys wanted to shoot Wyatt Earp, wanted to take him out. That's when Doc Holliday, Val Kilmer, said, "I'm your Huckleberry."
Gave my dad goosebumps every time.
Yeah, one of the great lines in motion picture history. But Wyatt Earp, again, nearly 50 years after his famous gunfight at OK Corral, he lived, unlike a lot of those old West guys, he lived a long life. Wyatt Earp died today, natural causes, in 1929 in Los Angeles. And that's our segment that we call
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
All right, coming up, more on tonight's historic national championship game here in New Orleans at the Superdome between LSU and Clemson. And I'm going to pay tribute to a pretty important rock and roll guy who died recently. Stay tuned for those reports coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. So the other night on Family Feud, you ever watch that show, the game show? I don't watch it very often, but every so often when contestants give funny answers, it puts a smile on your face. And this happened the other night on Family Feud.
All right, real simple. There's one question, only one answer. Whoever gets it, you're playing for $10,000. That's it. Whoever guesses this wins the game. Here we go. Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken. Oh, my God.
Show me chicken.
Spinach, Sherry.
That's right. Boy, just when you thought Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen couldn't get any more free publicity anywhere in the wake of the chicken sandwiches that they have now that are delicious. That was on Family Feud Canada, I believe, the Canadian installment of Family Feud, and that woman, her name is Eve Dubois.
And she's a babe.
Yeah, she was a little bit confused though. She got the Sailor Man, Popeye the Sailor Man, confused with the chicken outlet, Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen.
And she was into it too. When she gave her answer, she did like a little hip shimmy. She had her hands in the air because she just knew she won that answer.
She thought she was right.
Yeah. I mean, everybody who answers thinks they're right, but the faces on her family's faces. You can hear one of the women say, "Oh my God," after she gave her answer.
And look, living around the New Orleans area, we all know that Popeye's started here. It started in St. Bernard Parish. And now there are Popeyes all over the place. And by the way, Popeyes was not named after Popeye the Sailor Man that as children we all loved, or many of us enjoyed watching, with the giant forearms eating the spinach. Popeyes was named after the character in the movie The French Connection, starring Gene Hackman as Popeye Doyle, which is a fantastic movie. And he was a great character in that movie. But that's who Al Copeland, that's who he decided to name the franchise after, Popeyes, for Popeye Doyle in the movie The French Connection.
I had not known that.
Not Popeye the Sailor Man. And this woman on Family Feud, you made a good point, Coleman. She thought she was right when she said Popeye's chicken, and she starts dancing. It's like, no.
Chicken!
Nah. Chicken! Yeah.
Mm. Well, plus, it tastes a lot better than broccoli, too. Maybe that was why she was so excited as well. All right, coming up, are you ready for the game tonight? Is it going to be a really good game? See, I don't know. I'm looking at this point spread, 5, 6, 7 points, 5 or 6 points, 5, 5.5, whatever you got. Look, I never want to say easy money when it comes to betting, but as far as I'm concerned, with Heisman Joe Burrow leading the LSU offense, this isn't only the greatest LSU team of all time. This may be the greatest college football team ever. More on that game coming up. And it's here in New Orleans at the Superdome. Boy, life is good right now. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. The classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And we are 11 and a half hours away from kickoff. Nice. LSU Tigers go for the national championship against the Clemson Tigers. And right here in the great city of New Orleans in the Superdome. And boy, I'm really... really liking LSU. I'm really liking them with the point spread, 5.5, 6 points, whatever it is. I like LSU a lot. The only thing that scares me a little bit, and what, Clemson's won 29 games in a row. They're the defending national champions. Their sophomore quarterback, the dude with the long hair, guy looks like Jeff Spicoli from Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Lawrence, he's never lost. I mean, he's never lost a game in his college career. But the way LSU has gone through people this year, and their schedule was much more difficult. I mean, the SEC obviously is a much tougher conference than the ACC, where Clemson comes from. And I believe LSU, how many top 10 teams did they beat this year? 4 or 5 teams that were in the top 10 that LSU beat? Clemson can't say that about any of their games, any of their wins this year, because the conference they play in isn't very good. And this has been a great weekend here in New Orleans. I know ESPN has been set up right by Jack's Brewery in the parking lot there, and they were doing shows from there all weekend long, and New Orleans looked good,
yeah,
real good on national television. And Joe Burrow does something that I do. I actually have something in common with Heisman Joe Burrow, Joey Heisman, who's going to be the number one overall NFL draft pick this upcoming NFL draft, when the Cincinnati Bengals are going to draft the Ohio native Joe Burrow number one. But Joe Burrow was telling the press that when he said this, I said to myself, boy, I've got something in common with Joe Burrow. It feels good. Joe Burrow takes a nap before the game. Now, I take a nap after the radio show. So Joe Burrow and I have that in common. We both nap.
Okay.
So
you have a special kinship. Is Joe Burrow your spirit animal?
Well, it feels good to have something in common with this guy. Because this guy can't miss. He's been so incredible this year for LSU. And he's got NFL, not only NFL quarterback, he's got NFL star quarterback written all over him with the way he composes himself back there. But LSU told reporter or Joe Burrow told reporters that about 15 minutes before every game, he will wrap a bunch of towels around his neck and he'll close his eyes. And he says sometimes he falls asleep and then somebody has to wake him up. This is his way of focusing. He says not every time he falls completely asleep, mm-hmm. but he says a lot of the times he'll wrap towels around his neck before the game just to get focused in, and he closes his eyes, and a lot of times he will nod off, and then somebody will come over and wake him up.
Well, John, when you're at home taking your nap, do you wrap towels around your neck as well?
Sometimes over my face.
Over your face. Okay, cool.
But when I nap, it's usually after the radio show because we get up so early, mm-hmm. and then we'll do things after the show. You know, we'll do whatever. We'll do more work around here, and then I'll go home, and I'll nap for about an hour to an hour and a half. And if I don't do that, come 8 o'clock at night, I'm wiped out. But if I do that, I usually can make it till about 10 o'clock, because we have to get up so early. To do the radio show. So I'll be honest with you. I feel better about myself this morning knowing that I have something in common with Heisman Joe Burrow.
Well, let me put your soul at ease. Now, you know I got the hookup, right? And I have exclusive audio of Coach O and his strategy of how he's going to beat Clemson tonight. So if there's any Clemson people listening, please cover your ears. This is exclusive. It's only for LSU fans. But I snuck into the dome. I didn't get shot at. And I got a chance to throw my microphones at the practice, and here's what I got.
Lead off, man. Now we win a kind of fire. We go to that way. I got a boot call at my back. This kill, though. Then when the town Bobby Boucher on the lead, call that wrong way, you're afraid my camera Bobby Boucher dying.
And that's the secret strategy.
Yeah, I'm a little bit bummed out you played that because there could be some Clemson people listening to that exclusive footage you got, that locker room Ed Orgeron footage you got there.
Well, that's the honor system. I told them to cover their ears, and I know they want to play a respectable game, so I'm confident that Clemson didn't listen to our strategy just now.
Yeah, I did. Look, whether they can figure that out or not, I've got to be honest with you. I don't think it's going to be much of a game tonight. I think LSU is going to cruise like they have all season long. I mean, a little worried about the fact that Lawrence, the quarterback for Clemson, has never lost a game since he stepped on that campus.
Mm-hmm.
But there has to be a first time for everything, right?
Correct.
And that's tonight. And in case you're just joining us, Coleman mentioned how when he did sneak into the Superdome to get that exclusive Ed Orgeron recording, that he didn't get shot at. At 3 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, a couple of mornings ago, late Friday night, early Saturday morning, two people were where they weren't supposed to be. They were just outside the Superdome trying to get into some area that they weren't allowed to be in. And there was LSU security there. And LSU security, Superdome
yeah.
security. There was Superdome security there. And Superdome security confronted the two guys. And then the two guys pulled out guns and started shooting at them. No one was injured. One bullet did hit a car near the Superdome. And the two guys were able to escape. And again, here in the city of New Orleans, when it's 3 o'clock in the morning, if you hear someone shot at somebody else, that's not going to make headlines. That's not news. That happens frequently here in New Orleans, but not by the Superdome. And especially not a couple of days before the national championship game when LSU is playing Clemson. The two escaped. They got away, and
Yeah, that's not an uneasy feeling, knowing these two have the audacity to shoot at security guards and they're still out there somewhere during this national championship game where we have all these tourists.
Yeah, and not long after it happened, the Superdome security, they're in great communication with the New Orleans Police Department. The Superdome security this weekend is in great communication with the FBI. And the Superdome security this weekend is in great communication with the Secret Service.
Right.
Because the president is coming, he's supposed to come to the game tonight and watch the game in the Superdome. So they're all working together, and they were as soon as this happened. Again, at 3 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, right outside the Superdome, they haven't caught those people that weren't that were someplace they weren't supposed to be. And you're right, Coleman. You know, the streets aren't big enough for you, me, and any lunatic, any crazy person that is going to fire at security guards right outside the Superdome. All right, coming up on the show, got a couple things to say about a rock person, and you can use the word icon in rock and roll, who just died recently. Stay tuned for that coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. About a half hour ago on the show, we played for you the woman on the Canadian Family Feud who gave a wrong answer to a question. And
chicken.
Yeah, the question was name Popeye's favorite food. She said chicken. She was obviously thinking about the delicious chicken at Popeye's restaurants. But the correct answer, name Popeye's favorite food is spinach.
Right.
That's what Popeye used to eat. So, and that cost her, even though it's funny and we had fun with it, that cost her $10,000, her and her family, because that's what she lost out on by getting the wrong answer. Well, Popeye's restaurants gave that contestant $10,000 worth of food.
See that?
Because her wrong answer cost her and her family $10,000. Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen, as a corporation, as a company, gave that woman. Her name's Eve Dubois, and she's Canadian because that was on the Canadian version of Family Feud. Look at that. They have that up there, too? So, hey, at least they got $10,000 worth of free Popeye's food. That's a lot of chicken and biscuits. Good stuff. Coming up next on the show, more on tonight's LSU National Championship game here in New Orleans. And an iconic rocker died recently. And we're going to pay a little bit of a tribute to him coming up on the show. Hang out with us for those reports here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Usually waking up on Monday mornings kind of sucks. It's Monday morning. But this morning's a little bit different because we're waking up on a Monday morning where tonight LSU is playing for a national championship here in New Orleans in the Superdome against Clemson. And I really like LSU. Again, whether the point spread's 5, 5.5, it's going up to 6. I think it went back down to 5.5. I say it all the time. There's no such thing as an easy bet. But boy, this... there's been no team this year that's been able to slow down Heisman Joe Burrow, the LSU quarterback, let alone stop him. And I don't see how Clemson is going to be any different. And this weekend around New Orleans, we got a lot of national exposure. ESPN was set up down here. They were set up in the parking lot out there. Outside of Jack's Brewery, and there's been a lot of fun stuff going on. Obviously, majority, you see purple and gold LSU fans because it's the national championship game being played in the same state, so close to campus. I see some orange out there.
A little bit.
And if you're looking for a ticket, if you were waiting to see if the prices were going to go up or down, the prices have gone down The cheapest seat I saw right now, and it's upstairs in the Superdome. They're pretty high up, $731. And they have some. Again, the game's obviously sold out. These are tickets you can buy on the secondary market. It's capitalism. And the tickets last week were as high as just under $1,000, but now they're down into the $700 range. Again, $731 is the cheapest one I saw, and there are some for $740 and $750. And it'll be interesting to see as today goes on if those prices will continue to go down, like they've been going down, or if they're gonna go up or stay the same.
Well, hopefully around kickoff they'll drop down to about $30. I can swing that.
They won't get that cheap, Coleman. Yeah, usually if you wanna scalp a ticket, buy a ticket on the secondary market, a lot of times your best bet is to wait until the game starts. Mm-hmm. And then once the game starts, you might miss the first few minutes, but that's when the guys selling outside they start to panic a little bit once the game gets started, and you'll see people on the street outside the Superdome. But I have no idea what they're going to be asking. I'm just telling you what I see on websites where you can go and get tickets on the secondary market. So those tickets are going down, and before the game, the whole Bayou crew, we're all going to be out at the block party.
Yeah!
Out in front of Vintage Rock Club, just a couple of blocks down the street from the Superdome. We'll be there starting at 4 o'clock, having a good time, dancing in the street, partying, having a blast. As I look for LSU to win this game, pretty good.
Yeah, remember the Vintage Rock Club block party, that's a VIP access only. So you have to go to bayou957.com for details on how to get tickets. It's not open to the public.
No, but the street is.
Yeah.
And that's where we're going to be hanging out in the street right around there, just having a good time starting at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Did you watch any football this weekend? Did you watch any of the Minnesota Vikings, San Francisco 49ers game? It was very frustrating because obviously the Vikings shocked everybody around here and shocked the football world last weekend by coming into the Superdome and beating the heavily favored Saints.
Why are you bringing up old stuff, John?
Well, I'm bringing it up because over this past weekend, watching the Vikings lose to the San Francisco 49ers, San Francisco easily ran the ball against them. I mean, they ran and ran and ran. That's something the Saints didn't do very much of when they lost to the Vikings a week ago. The Vikings defense 2 weeks ago shut out the Saints in the second half. And I remember coming in here last Monday morning a week ago from today saying, what the hell happened to Alvin Kamara? And why weren't they running him? Why weren't they running Latavius Murray? Guys, they had success running the ball during the season, but I guess Sean Payton's game plan wasn't about running. He just kept throwing and throwing and throwing. But then a couple days ago when you watched San Francisco easily run the ball against Minnesota's defense, I'm sitting there on my couch saying, why didn't the Saints run the ball against the Minnesota Vikings? Why? Because San Francisco is doing it so easily. That was pretty frustrating. One other thing too, over the weekend, how about the shocker of the weekend and the shocker of the season so far? Tennessee, the Titans, going to Baltimore and beating the number one seed Ravens with their MVP quarterback, Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson was the best player in the NFL this year. He's going to win the most valuable player. But as good as he was during the season, he was that bad in the playoff game against Tennessee. And Tennessee stopped him, and Tennessee shocked everybody. The number six seed, Tennessee Titans, are now one win away from being in the Super Bowl as they're going to play the Kansas City Chiefs next weekend in the AFC Championship game. And how about the Kansas City game?
Right.
Houston goes to Kansas City. They go up 24-0. It looked like a cakewalk. But then all of a sudden, that game did a 180, and the Houston Texans looked like the Atlanta Falcons blowing a huge playoff lead, and Kansas City came back, and they scored 51 points, and they whooped Houston. As a matter of fact, in Kansas City, they scored so many points, so many touchdowns, that they ran out of fireworks. Because when they would score touchdowns in Kansas City, when the Chiefs would score a touchdown, they would blow off fireworks. But they scored so many touchdowns, it got to the point they ran out of fireworks in Kansas City. But I don't think that disappointed the crowd there too much. So who knows what's going to happen in that conference championship game in the AFC conference. I mean, you would think Kansas City hosting Tennessee, that should be a Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City victory. But with the way Tennessee's defense completely stopped Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, who knows what's going to happen there. And then the NFC championship game should be a good one as well, with the Green Bay Packers going to San Francisco and playing the 49ers next weekend. But tonight it's all about LSU here in New Orleans playing for the national championship. And in my opinion, I think LSU is going to win by a lot more than 5, 5.5, or 6 points. Just my opinion.
Just your opinion.
My opinion. All right, coming up on the show, we got to get to the dumbest thing I read all morning, and we're going to pay tribute to a rock and roll icon who we lost over the last couple of days. Hang out for those reports here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. And obviously, there's one thing around New Orleans today that pretty much everybody is thinking about and talking about, and that's LSU going for the national championship tonight here in the Superdome against Clemson. And I hope this game, and I'm pretty sure it will, be better than the last time LSU played for a national championship in the Superdome. That was against Alabama. Remember that? And that's the game where LSU didn't even make it to midfield until the fourth quarter. They didn't even make it to midfield. I mean, it's funny. You look at what Joe Burrow does now. Joe Burrow's out there. It looks like he's playing video games. How quick that he leads the team down the field to score touchdowns. You know, it makes you wonder all of those years, what the hell was Les Miles doing? I mean, I know LSU historically, especially during the Les Miles era, it was always known for their defense and running the ball. I mean, they had two of the greatest wide receivers that the NFL has ever seen playing on the same team, and they couldn't win at all. That's when they had Odell Beckham Jr. playing with Jarvis Landry. I mean, do you even remember who the quarterback was?
No.
When those guys were playing? And look at the NFL careers that those guys have had. But then all of a sudden, Joe Burrow comes to town, and it just switches the way LSU plays football, switches the entire game plan. But
it makes me wonder. We was talking about this a few weeks ago, the age disparity between Joe Burrow and other quarterbacks in the college, you know, in other colleges.
Trey Coleman.
He had 2 years eligibility. And he's 23 years old.
Joe Burrow's 23 years
old.
So
he's a grown man.
Yeah, and the kid from Clemson, what's he, 19? Has he turned 20 yet? The quarterback who's never lost a college game, Lawrence.
Dude, so it's a guy playing against boys this entire season, seems like.
Well, again, Joe Burrow went to Ohio State, and he graduated from Ohio State, but because he could never get off the bench, he had a couple of years of eligibility left. That's why he came here. And, the rules say that's fine.
Okay.
Hey, one other thing. Did you see, there's a story saying that ESPN is offering Tony Romo the highest contract in the history of sports journalism.
Cha-ching.
To go to their network and to leave CBS. Right now, Tony Romo, the former Cowboys quarterback, he's the number one analyst on CBS, and he's teamed up with Jim Nantz.
Mm-hmm.
And they do all of that network, CBS's highest profile games. But Tony Romo is so good as an analyst that ESPN now, the story is out there that they're trying to get him for their Monday Night Football for next year to replace Booger McFarland. Look, we all like Booger because he played at LSU. And how can't you like a guy who calls himself Booger? But he is not very good when it comes to being an analyst on the Monday Night Football games. As a matter of fact, there are so many joke memes about him going around. I think the other day he actually said, you know, the team who scores the most points will win the game. I think that's what he's down to now.
I mean, he's correct.
Yeah, he's pretty brutal, to be honest with you, when it comes to being an analyst on NFL games.
They should make Booger the sideline reporter.
Well, he was doing that.
Okay.
He was doing that when Jason Witten was not doing a very good job as the analyst. But then Jason Witten returned to the NFL this year to go play for the Cowboys. So they moved Booger McFarland from the sideline up to the booth. But it just hasn't worked. He's not very good. And what makes Tony Romo so good is that Tony Romo sounds like you and I in the booth. Most of these guys are just cliche-ridden. They're filled with cliches. And like the number one guy on Fox is Troy Aikman.
Mm-hmm.
And Troy, I mean, he's all right, but he's not very good. Tony Romo is so much better than Troy Aikman. It's interesting, two former Cowboy quarterbacks. You know, Tony Romo couldn't win the Super Bowls that Troy Aikman won when he was quarterback in the Cowboys. But when it comes to being an NFL analyst in the booth, Tony Romo is much better than Troy Aikman. And it looks like ESPN is offering him anywhere from $10 million to $14 million a year.
And where do I submit my resume?
Yeah. And that would be if that happens, that would be the highest amount of money that an NFL analyst has ever made for working a few Sundays a year and just telling people what you think about the plays you just saw or about the game you're watching. Pretty incredible. Coming up next, it's the dumbest thing I read all morning. And we're going to pay tribute to a rock and roll icon who died over the last couple of days. Hang out with us for those reports here on Bayou 95.7.
Hey, stop the ball, stop the drill. I'm having a press conference.
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And since it's just about 8:35, this is the time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Couple left unattended bicycles in yard to lure thieves and then beat them with baseball bats and posted those videos to YouTube.
Hiya!
And this is something that went on for about 4 months. They were really enjoying doing this. Police call a man and a woman in Visalia, California, who they say for 4 months would leave a bicycle unattended in their front yard, and then they would lie in wait. And then when a would-be thief would come by to try to steal the bike, this is a couple, a man and a woman, they would then attack him, the thief, with baseball bats, and they recorded every one of these vicious attacks, and they would then post them on YouTube, these videos. 25-year-old Corey Cornut and 29-year-old Savannah Grillett,
you idiot,
were arrested on suspicion of assault with a deadly weapon and conspiracy. This happened at least 4 different times. This is like they were sitting around their house saying, "Hey, honey, what do you feel like doing? Let's put the unlocked bike in the front yard. Let's get the video recorder set up, and let's grab the baseball bats, and we'll wait for the person to come into our yard and try to steal the bike, and then we will beat the snot out of them with the bats, and we'll record the video and then post them on YouTube."
To me, it sounds like they've had stuff stolen before, and they didn't get any justice, so they wanted to take matters into their own hand. They probably had a bike or something sitting in front of the yard, and they just got fed up with it and said, "You know what? How about we do it ourselves?"
And you know what, Coleman? There's a lot of people that don't have a problem with what these people did. If someone's trying to steal something, they're getting what they deserve with the beatings. But the problem is, they did it over and over and over and over again. They did it at least 4 times over a 4-month span. And if they didn't get caught, they'd probably still be doing it. I think you can't be setting up people to beat them and then for the purpose of making a video that gets a lot of likes.
Right, that part is wrong, like putting it out on video, but just Because cops do it all the time with that show Bait Car, where they sit a running car.
Yeah, they used to do that here in New Orleans, the Bait Car.
Yeah, they just sit a car, they have it running, and somebody would leave. Then these guys would come in. One can say that's entrapment, and then they put it on video, too. They just didn't beat anybody, though. You know, so I think that's where they went wrong. They beat the person to death and put it online, but on Bait Car, they just stole the car, and it got arrested, and they still put it on national television for everybody to see.
Yeah, and if you're thinking like I'm thinking, like when I first saw this story, I kind of chuckled. I said, well, these thieves got what they deserved. But then when they just did it over and over and over and over again, they would have kept doing this probably, it looks like, once a month. Until they got tired of beating people, or maybe until they got enough likes on or enough views on YouTube, and then they might have stopped at that point.
Yeah, that was it. 4 months, and they only did it four times. That's once a month. It's not that bad of a neighborhood.
You know, that's something. Obviously, these two, this is a happy couple. They have a lot in common. I mean, because most couples I know, if the guy said, "Hey, let's set up something to steal in our front yard." And then when the guy comes to steal it, you and I, honey, grab a baseball bat, then we'll run out together and we'll beat this guy senseless and we'll record the beating and put it on YouTube to see how many views and likes we can get. You know, most wives, most girlfriends would probably say, really? Yeah. Really, this is what you want to do? But this woman said to her man, yeah, I'm in.
They probably met on onlybatbeaters.com or something like that.
Yeah, count me in. I'm in with you. So... the couple, the male and the female, who left unattended bicycles in their front yard to lure thieves to steal them, and then would beat them with baseball bats and post those videos to YouTube. The dumbest thing I read all morning. All right, coming up next on the show, I'm going to pay tribute to a rock and roll icon, and he's definitely an icon. I know that word is used a lot, but a rock and roll icon who died over the last couple of days. That's next. Our tribute to him coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Rush, Limelight, and a couple of days ago on Friday, the drummer and lyricist. He wrote all the lyrics, too, for the band Rush. Neil Peart died of brain cancer, and he didn't tell anybody about that. Very Neil Peart-like. He quietly battled brain cancer for 3.5 years, and he lost his battle. It was only a year and a half before that Rush played their final show. And again, a band that's been around forever, really sad. That Neil Peart died at the young age of 67. 67, as we sit here in the year 2020, is young. Neil Peart, when you talk about the greatest drummers in rock and roll history, he's always in the conversation. He's right up at the top. He idolized Keith Moon from The Who, and then he was able to play like that. But then he perfected the art of playing drums. What made him so good, I mean, if you listen to Rush songs, just all the incredible, not only drum fills that he did, but in so many of Rush's songs, he would change the timing of the song. And then they'd go back and forth with different timing in the songs. And when you talk about the lyrics that he wrote, I mean, I graduated high school in 1985. I was the typical white suburban kid. If you were a white suburban kid in the United States or Canada in the 80s, Rush was a band that you listened to a lot. I remember sleeping out for Rush tickets. This was obviously before the internet, but I remember grabbing friends in high school and we would sleep out at the arena to get Rush tickets. When it comes to a few of his lyrics, I think of the lyric, my favorite lyric is the one of them that we just heard in the song Limelight, when he wrote, "All the world's indeed a stage, and we are merely players, performers and portrayers, each another's audience outside the gilded cage." And then he wrote a lyric in the song Subdivisions. If you were a kid like me when this came out, he was talking directly to me. When he said, in the high school halls, in the shopping malls, conform or be cast out. In the basement bars, in the backs of cars, be cool or be cast out. He was talking about subdivisions, how everybody always did the same thing or they conformed. And boy, just listening to Neil Peart's drumming is incredible. And then a lot of the lyrics he wrote really, really related to people. I know some of the lyrics he wrote. He was a science fiction guy. He would call himself a geeky guy. But then some of the lyrics, a few that I just gave you, really, really related to people. But when it comes to drummers, I'm telling you, you can't say anybody was better than Neil Peart. You could say, hey, there were some rock drummers, jazz drummers. I mean, Neil Peart was a great jazz drummer too, and he incorporated like a Keith Moon style of crazy rock and roll drumming with a jazz style as well. He was a perfectionist. He wasn't your typical rock star. He didn't do very many interviews. When they toured, it was always the other two guys in Rush who did all the meet and greets. He never really came around. You know, when a lot of rock stars are trashing hotel rooms, he was reading books in hotel rooms. He was writing lyrics in hotel rooms. He was just a very unique and an incredibly talented, one of the greatest drummers you'll ever hear in your life. Again, you could say there were some guys, drummers as good as Neil Peart, but to say that this drummer was better than Neil Peart, I don't know. I would challenge you on that. And again, he was also the band's lyricist. R.I.P. Neil Peart, who we lost at 67 years old on Friday. You're on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. You ever watch that show, Dr. Pimple Popper? It's on TLC.
I've heard about it, but I never watched it.
Well, the doctor, her name is Dr. Sandra Lee. And the show evidently has a lot of people watching. People like watching that kind of stuff. And I've only seen a couple of commercials for it, previews for it, and mm-hmm. It made me not want to watch it because she pops really big, big, huge, huge pimples. And I've got a 40 or 50 inch, whatever it is, color flash screen TV, and I don't need to see an immense pimple being popped like that. But evidently, some people like watching that because that show's doing very well. Well, I was just reading about her, and she's asking fans of her show to please stop sending her pictures of them popping their own very, oh, no. very large pimples, their very large zits. She says even though that's what she does for a living, she doesn't want to see it. It's like me. I don't want to. I have a couple of friends. Hey, do you watch Dr. Pimple Popper? I said, no, I don't want to. These people come in with pimples the size of human fists on their neck and on their, and this woman will go to work popping them, and you got to get like a big bowl or something for all of the liquid, all of the crap that comes out of it. She goes, look, I do that because I have to. That's what I do for my living. That's what I do for my job. But evidently, lots of her viewers end up sending her pictures of them doing that to themselves or their friends with very large pimples.
I wonder how you figure out there's even a market for that. How do you even pitch that to a network? Like, here's what I got. Here's the idea. Like, you have to bring numbers in and show them these are the people that's into pimple popping. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get who would watch that. Now, the show that comes on before that is a show that I've watched, My 600-Pound Life. Watching somebody who's almost 800 pounds, trying to go about their daily lives. To me, that's better to watch on a 40 or 50 inch flat screen color television than humongous zits and pimples being popped all over the place.
Yeah, to each his own.
Thanks for listening to our show this morning. We appreciate it. Ginty is next. Ginty, coming up at noontime, he is going to pay tribute to the late Neil Peart from Rush. That's going to be really cool at noon. And we'll chat again tomorrow morning around 5:30. Go LSU! They're going to win tonight. And I don't think it's going to be that difficult. Here on Bayou 95.7.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.